Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and I'm glad to be here with you this morning, glad to be with you for this day, as in just a little bit we will be receiving new members into our midst. It's a great day to celebrate as a church, a great day to be together, and I'm glad you're here to be a part of it. I have a couple of quick things to share with you, as always, so let me share these. First being that we have a few sign-up sheets downstairs. You may have seen them on your way in. We have our church bowling day at the Lanes next Sunday, so we need to get you signed up by today if you wish to join us. It's just here in town at the Summit Lanes, and if you want to join us, please check the information down there. Also, tomorrow is the CPR class that's being hosted here at the church. I'll tell you, if you've ever been interested or want to do it, this is the class to do. You will not find a cheaper price. Becky called everywhere in the greater Detroit area to find this for us, and she got us the price of free to take the class. There will be a small charge, $5, is that correct, if you want to get the certification card, but otherwise, compared to some of the numbers we saw, this is quite a deal. So if you wish to join them, that's tomorrow night. The sign-up is downstairs as well. Also on the board are United Women of Faith. They have a couple of things coming up, and our United Methodist Men's Group as well. They have the information for the Home Plate Program. This is a program that happens through the Detroit Tigers baseball team. It's a day of activity, for lack of a better word. There's former players who give their testimonies, who talk about their faith. There's activities for the kids, and then it all culminates with a baseball game that you get to stay for later in the day. So if you're interested in that, that information is downstairs. And finally for me, May 4th this year is National Day of Prayer. And the Romeo community has a strong tradition of being a part of the National Day of Prayer, and this year that will continue. The community gathering will be hosted over at Woodside on 32 Mile is where we'll be meeting this year. It'll start at about 9 a.m. with breakfast that's provided. And then Eric Gonzalez, who actually led our praise music on Good Friday service, he'll be leading the time of music. And then they called this week and asked if I would give the message. So I'm going to ask for your prayers before I have to go give the message at the prayer meeting. But I'd love for you to join me and be there for that time of prayer. There will be worship, there will be a message given, but then there will be intentional time for us to pray. To pray together, to pray for each other, to pray for our country and our world. So I'd invite you to join me. That is on May 4th. It's through the Romeo Kiwanis Club that you can register if you wish to. We can give you more information from the office as well. And those were the announcements that I had shared with me, things to keep on your radar that are coming up here. And of course, we know that we can continue to watch the emails, the announcements. There's always things going on, always things to be a part of. And for that, we are thankful. But here this morning, we are here to worship, to give thanks to our God. And so I'm going to invite you to join me for that. I'm going to invite you to stand and we'll sing our opening hymn. It's number 454, Open My Eyes That I May See. Will you sing with me hymn number 454?
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, you have so much to show us, so much to tell us. Things that no human eyes have seen, things that no human ears have heard, things that you have prepared for those whom you love. Mighty God, your promises are like shelter in a storm to us and to our children, to all those who are far and near. They are promises made to everyone who hears your call. O Lord, help us that we might have the mind of Christ, that we might know and understand your truth. We come, we wait as empty vessels, ready to be filled to overflowing with your living water, as you reveal your love for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and risen Savior. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is coming to us from Acts. It's chapter 2. We'll hear the first part of verse 14 and then continue with verses 36 through 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. This ends our first reading for today. And this time our choir has their anthem prepared for us. We're going to hear, Give Me a Grateful Heart. Thank you. Thank you, choir. As I said at the start of service, this is a special day, a day that we get to recognize new members. So I would invite those who have joined me for class that would like to come forward to do so as we receive them into our midst. Well, friends, the five individuals before you that you see with me have come before me, have come to new members class, and we were able to have conversation. We were able to talk about the church, the greater church. We were able to talk about Romeo United Methodist Church and our ministries. But most importantly, we were able to share a little bit about our own faith journeys, our own stories, what has brought us to this point in our faith journeys, and each of the individuals before you have expressed a desire to become a member of Romeo United Methodist Church. It is a great thing. I'm so glad to have them up here with me. And we're going to share together in the vows of membership. But just like when we do baptisms or anything else in the church, you all have a part to play as well. So when that time comes, I'll invite you. The words will be on the screen for the words, the commitment that you'll make to receive these members into your midst as well. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. So today I invite you to remember your baptism. Remember that gift given to you as you take these vows of membership. And on behalf of the whole church, I ask you who have come, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. And according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, answer, I will. And to you, the congregation gathered, the body of Christ, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? If so, will you join me in the words on the screen? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Let us all then join our voices together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Finally, I ask those of you who are before us, as members of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, answer, I will. As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, answer, I will. Members of the household of God, it's one of the great joys, one of the great honors I have as a pastor of this church to now invite you to welcome the newest received members of Romeo United Methodist Church. Will you welcome them with me? I forgot my last line. I got one more line. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Will you join me? We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, may God grant you all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you for the work you will be called to do. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. And friends, let me give you a quick introduction. I told them I'm not going to make them get up here and speak because I didn't want to put them on the spot. But with me today, we have Phil Schwan, who is joining the church. We have Kathy Smith. We have Paul and Cindy Schaefer. I have to tell you, Cindy's not trying to be shy. She had some surgery done this week. That's why she's in the sunglasses. And we have Jen Ricketts, who are joining us today. Will you welcome them once more? So much. I know you'll welcome them with me after service and take a moment to greet them. Thank you so much. And this time I'm going to invite some of our youngest members that are here, any of the students, children, or youth who'd like to join me on the steps. Sure about me. It's okay. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
You guys doing all right? Yeah. Well, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here with me, that you can join me for this time. And I was wondering, yesterday morning about 8 o'clock or so, I had to go out the door. I had to head just up the street here to the Bruce Township Park for a soccer game. And it kind of made me laugh because last week I did the same thing on Saturday. I went to a soccer game. Except for last week, I was in shorts and a t-shirt and sunglasses, and I was sweating. I was so hot. This week, I went to that soccer game, and I made the mistake. I wore the same tennis shoes I wore last week. And you want to know what happened to my tennis shoes? They were soaking wet. My socks, my feet, everything, it was soaking wet. Those shoes are going to be wet for days. It was so wet out there. And it was cold. It just didn't seem right. It seemed like we wanted that 80-degree weather to stick around, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it's one of those things that happens in spring and in Michigan. There's a saying, maybe you've heard this before, people say it all the time, but in Michigan, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes, because it's probably going to change. And that's what happens. We go from really sunny, hot days to cold and rainy, and we got to bust out those winter coats again, don't we? We still had fun playing soccer, didn't we? It was fun to be out there, but it was just in a little bit different weather than we had to do it with the week before. And, you know, it kind of got me thinking, that changing weather that happens all the time. It's different every 5 minutes, really. But it got me thinking about God in our lives. And for all the things that do change, the weather,
us, we change, right? Every one of you is growing and getting bigger every day. Every time I see you, I feel like you've grown, you've gotten bigger. We're changing. Things all around us are changing. It's always happening. But there's one thing that's never changing. You know what that thing is? You've all heard it before.
Personality.
Personality? Your personality changes too. Yeah, you cry. That changes too. We cry sometimes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what's the one thing that doesn't change?
Flowers
change?
Mommy cry.
Mommy cry. We all cry sometimes. And yes, you have to go potty. Yes. Thank you. All right, maybe there's two things that don't change because kids can make me lose my mind sometimes when I'm up here. What were we talking about? What doesn't change? That was it. What doesn't change? Thank you. A couple of these guys got it over here. Jesus, God. God doesn't change, right? We're told in the Bible that God loves us yesterday. God loves us today. God's going to love us tomorrow. God stays the same. That love is there for us through the good weather days and the bad weather days, through the days that we struggle with things going well, through the days when our minds go completely blank because of a two-year-old saying things in front of the church. All those different days, God is with us. And to me, that's kind of reassuring to know that God is going to be with me no matter what I'm dealing with, whether I'm having a good day, a bad day, whether I'm happy or sad, whether I'm excited about what's coming or I'm a little sad or not so excited. God's going to be there with me. And I just want you guys to remember that God will always be there with you to help you through those times. If you're having difficulties, if you're having a joy, God's with you. And to me, that gives me some peace. That gives me some joy in my heart. So I wanted you guys to remember that as we finish with spring here. Hopefully we'll get to the warm weather pretty soon. But remember, as the weather changes, remember that God doesn't. That God's with you, and God loves you, all right? And I'm going to say a quick word of prayer here for you, and then you're welcome to head back to Odyssey or back to your seats. So will you guys pray with me? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for these boys and girls. I thank you for the changes we see in them as they continue to grow, Lord, as they continue to know you better, to further understand you in their lives, to continue to want to serve you as we all do. And Lord, I pray that even as we watch things change around us, that we recognize how much your love for us has stayed the same, that you are there with us in all those times. We are so thankful to know you, Jesus, so thankful to have the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. And we offer our thanks, we offer our praise, as always, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming up. You're welcome to head back to Odyssey class here or back to your seats, and I'll see you after church, all right? All right. Some things do change. As I said, some things don't. The children can always throw me for a loop. One other thing that doesn't change is that we pray. We pray for each other. The prayers might change, the needs, the joys might change, but we do pray for each other. It's why we set this time aside and worship each week to raise our joys, to raise our concerns before our Lord. And I have two quick the ones that I wanted to share this morning with us. The first being, I received a message from Dave Beskin just yesterday, and it had a picture of a newspaper article in it. And in that article, it was sharing that the Utica Community Schools have recognized their participants in the Macomb County Teacher of the Year program. And this year, one of those participants is Rachel Adams, a member of our church here. And Rachel's not with us this morning, but we can give her a... Rachel teaches at Jeanette Junior High School and will be taking part in that program. So if you have a chance, congratulate Rachel. Thank her for the work she does in making a difference in those students' lives. And then the other one I have to share is a concern I will lift. I was able to speak with Lisa on the way in. A couple weeks ago, we lifted Dave Ferris in our prayers. He went in for an emergency appendectomy, and he is still in the hospital here 2 weeks later. He's had some complications. He's got an infection they're dealing with, so... please continue to keep Dave in your prayers. Lift him in your prayers for that to clear up, that they're able to get him healthy and well and back home again. And we'll continue to keep Lisa, Austin, Dave in our prayers during this time. Those are the ones that I had shared with me before service. Nathan and Craig have the microphones. If you'd like to share with us, please feel free to raise your hands.
Thursday night at the men's group, I brought it up about... what's going on over in the Sudan. I'm fairly calloused at 76 years old, and Cheryl said a little crusty around the edges. But that's what I meant. It's going to be all right. No, seriously, very, very seriously, the Cheryl and I watch the 6:30 news, ABC, David Muir, and they had quite a story about what was going on over in Sudan. Everybody knows about the fighting going on in Khartoum and all that, but it's so much bigger than that. That part of the world has been getting rain for 4 years. They are so badly flooded that in some local areas, hundreds of thousands of miles of land is underwater, and that's their farmland. I mean, they're having to feed their children water lily bulbs. Look that up online and see how nutritious that is. It ain't much. And some of the children that they showed, pitiful doesn't begin to describe the seriousness of what's going on over there. So I brought it up to the men's group to see if there was anything we could do from a financial standpoint. And Ken Koss reminded us that UMCOR is probably involved, and I checked with Pastor this morning, and they are. And if you hear any more about this, the news media was able to raise $2 million in 24 hours, which is a drop in a bucket for what these people need. So think about what you could or would do. And if we can give something to UMCOR especially, I think make the church out or check out to the church for UMCOR, and that would happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. UMCOR, as we've talked about with other disasters, other needs around our world, UMCOR is involved in making a difference and feeding those who need it. If you wish to help contribute, as Larry suggested, if you can put UMCOR Sudan on there just so we know, we can make sure that money is earmarked. You can also get onto umcor.org, and they have a link available that you can give through the website as well. So thank you, Larry. Are there others this morning?
I have a friend who's suffering with a pinched nerve, a lot of pain. His name's Jeff.
Jeff, dealing with a pinched nerve, prayers for healing and comfort for him. Thank you, Nathan. Are there any others this morning?
I have one more. I'd like to keep the Forsgren family in our prayers. Kind of miss them, and just was thinking about them.
Absolutely. We keep the Forsgren family in our prayers as they're no longer with us, but I know Cynthia's playing and worshiping this morning, and for that we praise God. But thank you, Craig.
Beth Eisen, continued prayer.
Continued prayers for Beth as well.
And a joy that the Larimers are here today with us.
We have the Larimers with us.
That's right.
There's Larimers. Glad to have them with us this morning.
Also, just a prayer for Leif this week. He's going to be taking the first load of stuff down to Houston and making the drive by himself. So prayers for him as he drives the distance and in the next few weeks of all the moving we have to do as well. Thanks.
Prayers for Leif as he makes the first leg, and prayers for you both as you continue to prepare for this transition and the journey that lays ahead. Absolutely.
I just wanted to thank everybody for welcoming the new members into the church officially. But what I want to say is the day I walked into the church, I felt so welcome a couple years ago. And I am so grateful to now be an official member of this church.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jen.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, and this is a joy, how beautiful the front steps of the church on Main Street look. It really has vibrated the entire front of the church. It's just gorgeous. I was surprised when I drove by it the other day.
Amen.
Thank you, Linda. Yes, we are thankful for all the work that Howard Hicks has put in, has provided the labor and materials we've needed to freshen those areas up. So we do celebrate that. Thank you, Linda. Are there any others this morning? Get one. All right, then I'll invite you to take this moment, to take your own moment to spend with God, to lift any joys, any concerns you might be carrying with you, to take them before our God for this time of silent prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this place. But Lord, most of all, we thank you for the opportunity we have to know you in our lives, to know your grace and peace, to feel that love that permeates to our very soul. Lord, we are thankful to be able to greet friends, both new and old. Lord, we are thankful to hear the voices of children in our midst, to hear their shouts of joy, to hear their cries. Lord, we are thankful for life in this place, for all that has taken place, for all that will take place through the ministries of this place. We are thankful. And Lord, as we come here today, we have shared some of those needs that we know in our lives, some of those individuals dealing with medical needs, dealing with difficulties. Lord, whole regions of the world that are in need. We know you know the needs. You know them before we ever ask. But Lord, as we pray, as we ask your guidance, Lord, help us to listen. Help us to receive whatever it is you may give us. Help us to be the instruments that can act on those needs. Help us to reach out to brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, enemies who have those needs in their lives. You've taught us to love one another. Help us to seek that love in our lives each and every day. For we know how much you loved us, so much that you went to that cross, were buried in that tomb. But Lord, we also know that you have risen. You are with us, walking with us in this time, walking with us in our needs, walking with us during our joys and celebrations. For all that and so much more, we offer our thanks. As at this time, we join our voices together and pray this prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you once again to stand with me as you're able for our next hymn. It's number 133, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Will you stand with me as we sing number 133?
Yeah.
You may please be seated. As you are, I remind you that we do a lot of good through this church, through the work of this congregation, through the missions and ministries that we are a part of, that we support. There's a lot that happens through these four walls. Well, more than four walls. We got all kinds of walls in this building. But we do the work that we're called to do. I fully believe that. And we are able to do that work because of the generous giving of so many. The offerings that are brought here, the tithes that are brought here. And we do have our offering box on the organ that you can leave a gift here this morning, of course. But we also have our online giving at romeoumc.com if you wish to use that instead. Let me offer a word of thanks, a word of praise for this collection gathered today. Creator of all that we know and all that we don't know, as we bring our gifts this day, we ask you to help us trust you more. Forgive us when we entertain the thought that our future lies in bank balances and the accumulation of more things. Remind us, as Peter reminded those early followers, that through Jesus we have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. May our lives reflect that trust in how we act, how we speak, and how we interact with others. For Lord, it is in the powerful name of Jesus that we lift this prayer. Amen. Our second scripture reading for this morning is coming to us from Luke's Gospel. It's chapter 24. We'll hear verses 13 through 35. The walk to Emmaus. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This, my friends, is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Excuse me. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street. where one was reading Luther's preface to the epistles to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone, for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, wrote those words in a journal entry dated May 24, 1738. Those words, they've been quoted and shared by countless Methodist ministers, Methodist pastors since that day. All those who have tried to follow in Wesley's footsteps over the years. They've often been used as a recognition of that aha moment. That moment when we feel the scriptures, when we feel the love of Christ as a real, true thing in our hearts. I have felt my heart strangely warmed. Those words, they create such a mental image, don't they? They create a feeling almost. Really, I think they create a desire for each of us, a desire within each of us to feel our own hearts strangely warmed. Isn't that what you hear in those words? Isn't that what you desire from those words? I know I do. But here's the thing about those words. And it's something preachers, myself included, something that we're all guilty of when we've used these words, used this journal entry in the past. This beautiful, touching moment of a heart strangely warmed. Because those words alone, that journal entry, that snippet I read you, it doesn't really paint the full picture for us of where Wesley was. Because if we really want to revel in that beautiful moment with John Wesley, we need to understand where his heart was prior to that experience. Because you see, it was just a few short years before this that John Wesley had gone on a mission. He'd gone and traveled to America. He'd come over from England on a boat and traveled to the area that is now Georgia. And he was intent, determined to convert the Native Americans who lived there to Christianity. He wanted to preach the gospel, to share what he knew. He wanted to save their souls. He was set to do that. That was what he was coming to do. But what happened when he arrived, it didn't quite live up to those expectations that he had when he set out. As I did a little digging into some of my books this week, I found words like fiasco, failure, utter and complete mission unaccomplished, one author even wrote. All those have been used to describe Wesley's work on that mission trip that he took to America. When he got here, he didn't find a group of people who were looking to be converted. He didn't find people who wanted to receive the good news that he had to bring to them. And after only a couple of short years, John Wesley, he boarded a boat and returned back to England. And John Wesley wrote in his own journals, his own recollection of this event, that he was at a point of despair in his life. He wasn't sure if he had the faith to continue preaching, to continue sharing the good news. And during that return trip to England, the ship he was on, it found itself in quite a storm, tossed and turned. He didn't know what was coming from that storm. And as death stared him in the face, he was fearful because he found little comfort in the faith that he'd known throughout his whole life, the faith that he had proclaimed to so many. Wesley found himself at quite a low point in his own faith journey. It was during this time that he even confessed to a friend that he was considering giving up the ministry entirely, going and doing something else. And his friend encouraged him to preach faith until you have it. And then because you have it, you will preach faith. And Wesley listened to those words. He did continue on. Even when he didn't feel like it, even when he couldn't feel that presence in him in that moment, he continued to look to God, to look to God's word. And as I shared at the beginning of this message, on that fateful night in May when he went quite unwillingly to that gathering, he stayed true to the course. He stayed with it. And because he did, on that evening, he experienced something he had never felt before. He felt his heart strangely warmed. He felt the love and presence of the Lord, and he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that his life had been changed in that moment. It certainly does paint a different picture of John Wesley when we know the full context of those words, doesn't it? And I wouldn't dream of taking away from what John Wesley did. We're standing here because of what John Wesley did in forming the Methodist Church. The countless contributions and differences he's made. Differences that are still having a ripple effect hundreds of years later. But doesn't it also do us well to remember that John Wesley, one of those pillars of the faith that we hold up, John Wesley had his struggles, his doubts, his challenges throughout his life as well. We all have our own path that leads us to faith, that leads us to Christ. John Wesley was no different. And I believe that's partly what we see in the scripture reading that we heard from Luke this morning as well. Because once again, we're with a group of followers following the crucifixion of Jesus. Once again, the group of followers, they're lamenting. They're mourning. They don't know what to do after losing their teacher, their Messiah. They don't know where to go. They're so lost in their sorrow that even as the resurrected Jesus comes alongside them and walks and talks with them, they don't realize it. But I love that in that moment, Jesus allows them to keep walking, to keep talking, to keep sharing, to keep mourning. Jesus comes alongside them and listens to them. He doesn't challenge their what they believe has happened. He doesn't challenge them, at least not initially. He lets them share what they're experiencing. And of course, as we heard, Jesus does eventually reveal himself to them. He opens their eyes and they realize that it is Jesus, the risen Lord, that's walking with them. And that's a wonderful image. That's a wonderful message, a wonderful story, a wonderful lesson that I could teach on. But as I looked at this text, as I recounted Wesley's journey to that fateful night when he had his heart strangely warmed, I realized something. I realized that both these encounters, both these stories are a reminder that even when we don't see Jesus in our midst, even when we don't feel that presence with us, Jesus is there. Those followers, they were walking and talking. They were walking and talking with Jesus. And they didn't recognize it. They didn't realize it was him. But he was still there. He was still providing what they needed. Because what they needed in that moment was to walk and talk and mourn and share, to share where they were at in their own journey, space to grieve, space to be present. So Jesus allowed them that. Likewise, I think that was John Wesley's experience too. He had come to the end of that rope, felt like he couldn't go on, felt like Jesus was nowhere near him. But I don't believe that for a second. I believe Jesus was there. Jesus was in that friend who encouraged him. Jesus was in those friends who encouraged him to continue to go to the meetings, the gatherings, to continue to speak the word, continue to share what he knew. In ways that Wesley likely never even recognized, Jesus was right there alongside him, providing him the space he needed to question and doubt and explore what it meant to have faith. And Jesus was there offering him encouragement, prodding him forward, pushing him to continue to preach the good word till he was ready to receive that Spirit with a full and open heart. I think I needed that reminder this week too. Maybe you need to hear it. That reminder that even when we feel that we are far from God, when we think that Jesus doesn't care, when we feel like maybe the Holy Spirit has some better things to be doing than be bothering with us right this moment, God is never far from us. God is providing just what we need in those moments, even if it means God is allowing us the space and time we need, time that we need to find our way back to him. Maybe you found yourself coming here a little unwillingly today. Maybe you found yourself coming here because it's what you're supposed to do on Sunday morning. Maybe you're here because someone dragged you along this morning. Maybe you're here because someone extended an invitation to you to come. Maybe you're not even 100% certain why you are here this morning. That actually reminds me of a joke I once heard. One Sunday morning, a mother went into her son's room and to tell him it was time to get up, time to get ready to go to church. To which he grumpily replied, "I'm not going." How many parents have heard that one? Why not? She asked him. I'll give you two good reasons, he said. One, they don't like me. And two, I don't like them. His mother replied, that's fine, but I'll give you two good reasons why you are going to church today. One, you're 54 years old and way too old to be throwing a temper tantrum like this. And two, you're the pastor. However you have made your way here today, whatever you came here feeling, please know that God is with you. If you're walking on the mountaintop right now, I'm glad. I'm glad God is there with you in your joy. But if you're in that valley, if you're in that struggle, please remember, you are not alone. God is with you. God will not leave you there. God will continue to walk with you. God will continue to offer you the encouragement you need. God will be there waiting for the moment that you are ready to receive all he has to offer. You may feel your heart strangely warmed. You may feel the floodgates open and be feel overtaken by that love. You might feel like you're floating up on cloud nine. But however you experience that presence, I pray that it will leave you a changed person. I pray that it will deepen your faith, deepen your understanding of God and how God works in our world, how God works in your life. I pray that it will not be a one-time occurrence, that you will continue to seek God, continue to speak with God, continue to learn, continue to question, continue to find faith in your life. Because here's the thing, even after that heartwarming experience that John Wesley had, he still had times of doubt and struggle. It wasn't a one-time fix-all in his life where suddenly things were perfect throughout his life. Wesley had other moments of experiencing God, of feeling that presence in his life. He strove to continue on to perfection. It's a term he loved to use, continuing on to perfection. He fully acknowledged that he couldn't get there in this life. He couldn't get there as the sinful creatures we are as humans, but that he would be on to perfection in heaven, in the life that is to come. And he strove to get to that point. It takes effort to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It takes living in those mountaintop experiences, but it also takes living in those deep, dark valleys at times. But through it all, through all the generations of followers, through those first followers walking on that road to Emmaus, to John Wesley, to us sitting here in Romeo, Michigan today, God has been present. Jesus has walked with us. The Holy Spirit is still in the business of setting our hearts on fire. That is the truth we are told in the scriptures. So let us walk. Let us learn. Let us question. Let us seek. Let us do it together as we walk with Christ. Let us do it in the name of the one who loves us so much, he refuses to leave us as we are. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Descend upon our hearts today, we pray. Lord, fill us. Empower us. Set us on fire anew for you. Let it be so. Amen.
So let's all stand for our last song, if you're able.
Fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, hearing your love. Here in your love, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, than hearing your love, hearing your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in our soul. We want more of you, God. It is Christ who has brought us together, together in faith, together in hope, together in love. We have gathered here for one purpose, to be sent out together again, sent out with the welcome message of God's love. So let us go forth to be living testimonies of God's love. Let us go on fire to share the word. Go with God's blessing. Amen. Thank you.